What ho! This is Brian. I slept in the same room as Jimmy Page Gardner. Coming to you from Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio, Galley Studio. Actually, we're in the Galley today. In scenic Hespler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 92 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. One gets tired of the routine of saying that. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, whether you're subscribing to Ramble on Radio or buying Manic Nirvana, finally getting that deluxe edition of Manic Nirvana, or Page and Plant, or whichever, pop over, just Google Ramble on Radio, you'll find it. Leave a review. Tell them you like it, tell them you don't like it. The reviews count more than whether it's good or bad, because they count reviews. If that makes sense. You can listen or download on Podbean. Sorry, Podbean is where this actually originates from. You can listen on Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramble on Radio and Spreaker. And check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube. And occasionally I post videos of doing the podcast. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And I just lost my sheet. Oh no! So the intro was this very yesterday, I believe. I think it was yesterday. Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters. I get confused on it. Sensational Space Shifters. Doing No Quarter, a fairly Zeppelin-esque version of No Quarter. Although much like Black Dog, the guitars kind of cut the lick a little bit. Apparently they are like me, they're lazy and will only learn part of the lick and then go, oh, it sounds good enough. That's not a criticism, that's what I do too. But, yeah, I'm sure they couldn't possibly learn the other half of that lick. But yeah, fairly Zeppelin-esque, although they threw their own little did you catch it, kind of an Indian, African-y tinge in there. Just a slight difference. I get so tired of going over this and saying this, but I think it's worth doing maybe. You know, I've complained in the past about he changes these songs around and And my point is not that he can't. I'm fine with what he did with No Quarter. I think it was fine. And if you want to throw a twist in, that's great. That's fine. You know, move the song around a little. Do something different with it. Give it a hint of modernity. That's one thing. It's when he completely changes, moves. You know, it's virtually a different song. That I kind of go. That's not what I want. I should be careful saying this because it's not my place to say, and I've said it before, but I think it's disrespectful to the other songwriters when you throw away their parts and call it the same song. But to put it, you know, we're going to throw this a couple of notes from this scale, which is basically what they did on No Quarter. We're going to throw that in there and kind of give it a little hint of Mali or a little hint of India. That's fine. That's something Jimmy Page would do. That's something John Paul Jones would do, right? So I guess it comes down to how much are you changing it by degrees. That was respectful of the Led Zeppelin version of the other people's contributions to that song. I guess is kind of my point. But that was an interesting throw-in, and when you consider that he's rocked up Black Dog again, when you consider he's rocked up Rock and Roll again, he's got Justin Adams dancing across the stage to Rock and Roll, and you wonder what this means, because he doesn't, you know, things change with plants in many ways, and is he pull him back into the rock vein that he's kind of eschewed the last bunch of years? And if so, is he prepared to do that with this band, or will he be looking 6 months down the road, you know, after these summer tours and stuff? Will he be throwing his lot in with somebody else? Will he be calling Phil Johnson and Doug Boyle and say, let's do this again? That's an example of people who were right in front of me. That's why I brought up those names. But, you know, he does not like or dislike what he does these days, respect or disrespect them, whatever. He does not stand still. He's not a stagnant individual artistically. As, you know, well, I would say he gathers no moss in his life either. So you wonder what, you know, it may well be an interesting summer slash next year in the Robert Plant watching. Because he looks, the hint is there, I guess, that he's ready to embrace the rock side. And that's, there's a lot of stuff to embrace in that. Hey, maybe your reunion, maybe he's just getting his voice back up for the big reunion coming. Start that rumor. You heard it at Ramble on Radio. Tell everybody. Ramble on Radio's got the news. as well as No Quarter, he did. On the weekend, Jack White got him up on stage. And this kind of floored everybody. I think No Quarter was less of a surprise only because of what he did last weekend. And Jack White got him up and they did Lemon Song / Killing Floor. Look, Lemon Song is... Killing Bucka White's, I think it's Bucka White. I get all those old blues guys kind of a little confused sometimes. But I think it's Bucka White. Did Killing Floor. And the Lemon Song is Killing Floor. It's not, there's virtually no difference, except he throws the old Robert Johnson line in about squeeze my lemon until the juice runs down to my leg, and that's what makes it the Lemon Song. And, he didn't, I mean, that wasn't there. He didn't throw that in there. So is it the Lemon Song or is, you know, it's really Killing Floor. But they did the Zeppelin-esque version. And then, Jack White really played kind of Page's licks in it and stuff. I like Jack White as a guitar. I like Jack White as a musician and a guitar player. And he's like Robert in that he just kind of does things he wants to do. And I think he's got that very artistic temperament. You know, there are some guys who are become big musicians, whatever, and this is getting out there. This is way off topic. This is an aside. Aside alert. I should have the music for this. Aside alert. There are guys that if they didn't make it as a musician, they would be something. They would be whatever they are. They would be, you know, accountants, or they would work in the car factory with the likes of me. There's more than one guy who had dreams of a musical career and that works in the car factory. And but there are the odd guy who, you know, this is what they would, doesn't matter that records are made or not made. Doesn't matter that doesn't matter they made lots of money at it or don't make lots of money at it. Jack White, Robert Plant, I would argue is the same, are guys who they are what they would have been if they had never found fame, if they had never got record contracts, if they never got millions of dollars, wouldn't matter. Robert Plant would still be singing. And Jack White, I think, would be a musician, even more so than Robert. It would be a musician. That's what he would be. And if he has to be, I played in around the time of Manic Nirvana. Hint, hint as to what's coming. I played in a band with a guy who'd been a friend of mine for about 5 or 6 years before that. And he went off to live in Germany after the band split up. But went off with his guitar and said, I'm going to find some musicians. And I heard they got a big blues scene happening over there. And I'm going to kind of try and settle into it. And I talked to him once or twice after that. And there was no blues scene, but there was a big jazz scene. So he got into the jazz scene. And apparently I'm telling the story wrong. The dog has issues. But anyway, I hear of him through the, I haven't in a long time heard of him, but I've heard of him through the years, and he's just making his way as a working musician. He's hammering out. He never got a day job. He never got a regular job. He's just, and he was just one of those guys who that's what he was going to be. It didn't matter that success never came. And I suspect Jack White is one of those guys. I think Robert Plant is one of those guys too, who would just be carving their way, happy to make $30,000 a year as a gigging working musician. And so I like Jack White. I like his musical character, shall we say. I don't know what he's like as a human being, so I'm not going to say I like his character, but you know, that kind of, he is a musician first and foremost, I think. And I like his guitar playing, but boy, I don't like his singing. I've never liked his voice, so I've never really got into Jack White's music. I never really got into the White Stripes because I don't like his voice. I don't like the way he produces his voice, actually. But that said, he got up and did Killing Floor with Jack White, and they did a very Zeppelin-esque version. And then they did it a couple of nights later with Sensational Space Shifters. I have not heard that version. As of now, I have not heard it. But my understanding is it's more or less the same. I'm sure they threw some clicks in there. I'm sure they had that opening slide guitar a bit played on the RIDI or something. Sensational Space Shifters will never do it straight up, but I haven't heard, but I understand it was still very Zeppelin-esque. So, you know, Black Dog is back to being very Zeppelin-esque and no quarters in there. So you wonder, what's Robert, where's he going? And hey, he may be sitting wondering, where am I going with this? Maybe, you know, I suspect he's that kind of guy. And I've said it before, I respect somebody who can do what they want to do. You get to that point in life, that's what you want. You want to do what you want to do. You want to be free to do whatever you feel like doing. And that's what Robert Plant does. And let's see where this one goes. And let's hope it goes somewhere that us longtime fans who've been a little frustrated with his more recent output can get on board with. I'd love to be excited about Plant coming to town again, you know. But anyway, so onward ho to the actual podcast. So yeah, that was No Quarter. That was a clip-it of No Quarter is what you heard. Tomorrow, this is Thursday, March 26th. Tomorrow, the 27th, is 20 years since I saw Page and Plant at the Sky Dome Toronto. They had started the tour a few weeks previous. Actually, I just saw 4 weeks previous. So they have been on tour at this stage about 4 weeks. Stayed on tour for a couple of years, really. Through an album and in between, and some stuff happened. But this was 4 weeks into the Page and Plant era. And it was exciting. And I've told the story before here. I had, in 1995, I had a daughter who was, she was just about coming up on her first birthday. I was working 6 days a week. I think I was working midnights too. But my wife was at home with the young one, and we didn't have money. We did not have money. And I was not going to, and you know, the only CD I kind of bought that, I think I bought 3 CDs that year. And one of them was this. And that was a big deal to, you know, we'd be at the store. Let's get out of the, you get out of the house on Friday night, you go to the mall, but we'd be buying baby shoes. And, you know, I'd wander off to the HMV and just look. Because, you know, but every once in a while, for whatever, you'd buy something. And I bought, I bought the Page and Plant unleaded. Well, I knew that was coming. It had been in the paper, and I was excited about it. I had to watch the show on TV, so I bought the CD. And certainly, when I seen the tour came around, they were pre-selling tickets through American Express. Now, this was, at the time, this was a fairly new thing. I had never seen pre-selling tickets before. So, you know, figure this way. You used to have to line up for tickets. Hey, you kids, we used to line up for tickets. Sometimes for 2 days, you know, and which is fine when you're 16. It's not so good when you have a baby at home. But by this time, they were doing phone and whatnot, but it was, we'd go, okay, 10 o'clock, we want to get tickets to see such and such a show. They go on sale at 10 o'clock. So you go and you write tickets and you get tickets. And first person to get tickets, let everybody else know. And you're frantically on the phone trying to, you know, if you had two phones around, if you had a second line in the house, somebody would use that, or you'd be at the neighbor's house using the phone. Really did this stuff. So then they came out with this idea of the pre-sale, and it was new, and there was no listen to the radio station and get a pre-sale code, anything like that. It was American Express was the sponsor. We want, you know, a week, and they gave a week for American Express people to buy tickets. So I called my brother, who had an American Express card, and said, like, I really want to go to this one, as does my buddy Ron. And do you think you could order us tickets, pre-sale tickets, and you know, obviously I'll pay you for them. And the advantage of this was I was broke. So I could call Ron and say, okay, you owe $80 or whatever it was, $60 or $80 for tickets. Put the money together. I'll be seeing whenever, I'll be seeing Al. But I could say to myself, right? Okay, so I'm going to put $20 aside. He's not going to be looking for the money for a month. So I could put $15, $10 aside, $20 aside, and have the money in a month. Right? So this was this great idea. I didn't have any cash. I didn't have any room on our visa. They had gone on to baby shoes and diapers and stuff. I wasn't going to up the the credit limit just so I could get tickets. We had actually very intentionally held the credit limit very tight on that. And then he says, well, I would like to go too. So there was a pre-sale. It was order of four tickets, and he got his best friend from high school, who I'd known for years. He bought four tickets, which was great, because this meant instead of having, you know, kind of a month old tickets, I mean, he said, pay me when we go. So that gave me like 6 or 7 weeks to put the money together. And of course, I put enough money together for a T-shirt as well, and probably a beer or two at the arena. I remember there's two really strong memories. We got there, it was 8 o'clock start. We got there, lots of a beer. It's like 2 minutes to 8. We're standing, having a beer out in the hallway. All of a sudden, you hear music. That's the wonton song. You know, you kind of look at each other. What? The show starts at 8 and they started at 8? Nobody did that either. That was, nowadays, of course, they run such a tight schedule. I've been to so many concerts before that, where you would show up on, you know, whatever. You'd show up an hour late and you still had to hang around for an hour. Some brutal stuff, right? I've seen Springsteen in 85 and he was like 2.5 hours late. He was flying in from New Jersey and he had some problems at customs or something like that. You know, so they're supposed to start at 8 and 10 o'clock they're getting on stage. Which is nice if you're 6. Again, when you're 16, that's fine. If you're 25 and you got a friggin' job to go to in the morning, that's an issue. But that, you know, 25 years old, really weren't going to concerts at that time so much. So, so anyway, so yeah, they did the once, and then in the middle of the show, I'm going to say it's right around Since I've Been Loving You. Song Remains the Same, Since I've Been Loving You. Yeah, they did Nobody's Fault of Mine, Song Remains the Same, Since I've Been Loving You, Friends. Right in there. My brother's friend turns to me. I'm sitting beside him, and he turns to me and says, like just his jaw down, you know, almost pale. It's like seeing Zeppelin. None of us were expecting that, you know? We kind of go, well, I like both of these guys from in the past, so you go. And it was, this is like seeing Zeppelin. This is amazing. So it was a great, great tour. They really put on a nice show. And I dug up the information on it, I dug up from the Toronto Sun, a review of the concert. Now, John Sakamoto, I don't know what he's doing anymore. I have to Google him. He was a great music reviewer. He loved the same music we loved, you know. And when he left, he left the Toronto Sun. He actually went to do their online stuff, and then I don't know where he went from there. But they brought in this awful, truly awful, and you actually hear her on the radio every once in a while, and she's like, I think she's 16 still, and just awful reviews, and she likes awful music, a huge Madonna fan. But her reviews have amounted to nothing more than running through the set list, you know. And what did the fans think of each song on the set list? She's awful. And has been there for 15 or 20 years now. If you want to look at the slide in newspapers, how bad they've become over the years, look up some John Sakamoto reviews and then look up Jane Stevenson reviews and see how far the Toronto Sun slid in one movement. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So this is John Sakamoto, Toronto Sun. The day after. It may have been billed as Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, but the 30,000 fans who packed the mysterious sky tent configuration of the Sky Dome last night weren't having any of that. I have no idea what the mysterious sky tent configuration is, but what about 30,000 people? As far as they were concerned, it was nothing less than the return of Led Zeppelin, a band the majority of the crowd probably never had a chance to see the first time around, especially in this city. Page and Plant haven't played a show together in Toronto in almost a quarter of a century. Maple Leaf Garden, September 4, 71. What was surprising was how far Page and Plant went to accommodate them, while still managing to avoid the pathetic specter of a couple of old geezers staggering around in a vain attempt to recapture the past. That's funny. When you think of that, that's 20 years ago, and he's talking about there being old geezers. And we'd kill now for the couple of old geezers to stagger around and recapture the past, wouldn't we? Though 90% of last night's show was identical to the set list for the tour's opening date 4 weeks ago, the 10% that had changed is pretty interesting. For starters, the two new songs the duo had been shoehorning into the proceedings were both dumped. In place of the experimental Yalla, things kicked off with a crunching version of Physical Graffiti Stomper, the Wonton Song. It was the first of five straight Zep standards, including Bring Him On Home, Celebration Day, Thank You, and Dancing Days. Even with a hurdy-gurdy player and an eight-piece Egyptian orchestra, what came next was still the evening's oddest moment. Shake My Tree, a song originally recorded by Page and Shameless Plant clone David Coverdale. While Plant kept the smirking to a minimum, Page turned the tune into a riveting showcase, reveling in a marathon of feedback and distortion. The five-piece band, which includes, apparently the dog does not like the mention of the Page Coverdale, by the way. The five-piece band, which includes rhythm section of Charlie Jones, Michael Lee, then gave nod to keyboardist Paul Thompson of The Cure by covering the latter's Lullaby. The much-publicized Moroccan and Egyptian elements of the duo's music were introduced so gradually that no one blinked when Nigel Eaton took center stage with a hurdy-gurdy for Nobody's Fault But Mine, and the Egyptian pharaohs jumped into the melting pot for Friends. Simply put, this was not the world music lesson a lot of people in the crowd were probably dreading. Aside from a couple of cracks during Gallo's poll, Plant 46 was in magnificent voice, especially on a marathon 7-minute workout on Since I've Been Loving You, which featured hair-raising banshee wailing, courtesy of Plant, and a 20-piece string section courtesy of the Toronto Symphony. He even bowled his way through a chunk of Dazed and Confused later. The 51-year-old Page, meanwhile, was clearly having a blast, tossing off stinging leads all evening long and bearing absolutely no resemblance to the lost soul he had occasionally looked in the years past. Did you get that? Bearing no resemblance to the lost soul he had occasionally looked in the years past. They even saved the best for last, encoring with the 1-2 punch of Black Dog and Cashmere, featuring all 35 musicians on stage at the same time. All in all, a stunning example of what can happen when the performers and the audience both get their way. I'll tell you, I was in a daze for like 2 days after. I really was. I was just kind of puttering around the house and doing stuff. And just in this day, I couldn't believe it was so good. It really was a stunning example of what you can do. They blew the place away. They were so good. What a pity they didn't continue on. But what a pity, Led Zeppelin didn't continue on, etc. And here's the set list from that night. Intro was Tales of Brawn. The Wonton Song with Immigrant Song Snippet. That was Immigrant Song Intro, I believe. Bring It On Home, Sonny Boy Williams cover. Celebration Day, Thank You Dancing Day. Shake My Tree, the Coverdale Page cover. Lullaby, a Cure cover. No Quarter, Gallows Pole. The Hurdy Gurdy solo / Nobody's Fault But Mine. The Song Remains the Same, Since I've Been Loving You, Friends. Calling to You, the Robert Plant cover. Four Sticks, In the Evening, Black Dog, and Cashmere. So there you go. That is kind of my experience seeing Page and Plant together in Toronto. And what a what an experience it was. What a show. Just one of those great nights. And I was actually shocked. It was 20 years ago when, people talk about, 30 years ago, XYZ happened. I feel old. I've never felt that. Lately, it's been happening to me. Not because it's been 30 years since something happened, but it was, in this case, 20 years ago, and I was a full-fledged adult. I was, past 30, right? I wasn't 16. So you kind of go, well, I was 60, and that was a long time ago. It was another world ago. But this is 20 years ago. And I went as an adult. I worked at the job I'm working at. I had my daughter was born. I owned a home. I was a full-grown adult, engaged in a fairly mundane, middle-class, middle-aged life. And it was 20 years ago. It can't be that I'm, because middle age only lasts 20 years, right? Well, maybe 30. If you start at 30, then it goes to about 60, yeah? Although I think some people call it 40s to 50s. I kind of felt a little old when I realized that. But there you go. All right. And also Friday to Friday, this was tomorrow, Friday the 27th. So the 20th, Friday the 20th, was the 25th anniversary of the release of Robert Plant's Manic Nirvana. Possibly his last real kicking ass rock album. Have to think my way through that a bit. I think somebody, I read somebody say kind of his last ode to promiscuity, I think I read, which is probably fairly true. Now, when picking this out, let's see what we got. Yeah, it's not in order. Come on, in order, man. Yeah, we'll go here. Because then after this was Fate of Nations, which is more acoustic. And then Dreamland Mighty Rearranger Band of Joy. So this was kind of his last big hard rock extravaganza, I think. And he's got the big hair still, and he's got the, He's shirtless on the cover. I got the whole thing going on there. I was digging out the album, and I went in. Do I have the cassette, I wonder? I tend to have some cassettes from that era. I do have the album. I do have the LP record. I don't remember doing so, but in that time frame, I was still picking up records occasionally. It was the one little treat I would give myself. I'd go to record shows once in a while, and I'd come home with a couple of records. It would be 6 weeks of savings to buy two records, but I would wind up with something like Manic Nirvana. When I didn't... But while going through it, I found this cassette, and I'm going to play a snippet of on the outro. It is a Robert Plant Canadian Tour, 1990 Canadian Tour. Molson Canadian Rocks. Contest. So they have a couple of songs on this, and it says on the cover, I think I picked this, and I do think I picked this up for nothing at the record store. It was a promo. It may have been like it was $1.99 or something, you know what I mean? But it says on the cover, 1990 Canadian Tour commemorative cassette featuring two unreleased songs from the Manic Nirvana recording. Now, worth mentioning, those two unreleased songs are now released. I was actually going to throw them on. I was going to give you a snippet of unreleased Robert Plant and the intro outro, but it turns out when I looked them up, and sure enough, I have them on. I think they were bonus tracks on the remastered edition. It was One Love and Oompa. In brackets, Watery Bint. I'm guessing these are on the Nine Lives soundtrack. The Nine Lives, you know, the box set of all his stuff. I'm guessing that's on there. But anyway, it's on there, but it's also a contest. And interestingly, the guy who's doing the contest promo was John Derringer. He's still on the radio on Q107 here in Toronto. He went off and did a whole bunch of other stuff. And then over the years, but he's been back for a number of years in Toronto. He sounds so young in this. Sounds so young. I should send him a clip of it. Love the internet. You can just send these guys things. Hey, listen to you, guy. So anyway, so I'll play on the outro. I'll play the contest portion of that. And you heard on the intro, you did hear, hi, this is Robert Plant. It's from that. I did not get a quick interview with Robert Plant. That's what it's from. So Manic Nirvana, released in 1990. This is one of those. You know, at this time, when they got into making it really hard to figure out what songs are on the album, and they got silly with this stuff. And it's almost unreadable on the back. It's a bright orange, the back, and it's a whitish grayish words on the back, and it's in a circle, right? And good luck bloody reading it. It really is. Then on the inside, it's like done like a disc, so it's in a circle, but it goes around and around and around. Forgive me, I'm going to slide over to the internet to get the actual track list. It's just going to be so much easier. Actually, that's not even the track. See, I thought that would be the track list, and look at it now. Your eyes are where the summer lives, in pools of quiet fire. Come mess with my sincerity, go down on my desire. Oi, Redfaces. That's what it says on the inside. Holy Moses, put it in a mirror and you'll be able to read it, I think. This is the way it works, which I'm not interested in doing. Good luck reading the lyrics off there. And there's no lyrics on it, but good luck reading that. So anyway, here's what's on the album. Hurting Kind, Got My Eyes on You, which was a hit. Big Love, which I... this would be one of the promiscuity songs. I believe it's about... the Mile High Club. But this is where the line about Jimmy Page, I slept in a room with Jimmy Page. So there is actually a fair bit of embracing Led Zeppelin in this album. Remember, he had ignored them completely until the previous album, Manic Nirvana, which he sampled them in and Jimmy Page did a solo and stuff. I don't think Jimmy Page appeared on this one, right? No. Went to number 13 in the Billboard, by the way. Big Love was also a hit. It got to number 35. Hurting Kind got to number 1, by the way. Here you go. I Cried got to 39. Tied Out on the Highway, number 6. And Your Ma Said, You Cried in Your Sleep Last Night, number 8. But here you go. So Big Love, yeah, it's one of the promiscuity songs. But he includes this line about Jimmy Page. SSS&Q, I Cried. I Cried, She Said, and Nirvana. That's side one. Side two, Tie Dye on the Highway, which has become one of his more prominent songs, really. It was not the biggest hit on the album, but I think over time it's become the bigger song. Your ma said you cried in your sleep last night, in which he references quite regularly Black Dog throughout the song. Hey, hey, mama said the way you move, but not sung. Hey, hey, mama said the way you move, but sung, you know, in the melody of your ma said you cried in your sleep last night. Sorry. And so he references the song quite a bit in there. Anniversary, Liar's Dance, which is a gorgeous acoustic song. And I've been sitting and learning it a bit on the guitar, and I was going to give you a 30-second rendition as the intro. I thought the no quarter was more important. And Watching You. Was Watching You a hit? No, it wasn't. It's a good album. I've been listening to it this week, and it's a good album. Bonus tracks, Oompa, Watery Bint, One Love, and Don't Look Back. And like I say, this cassette I have has One Love and Oompa on it. Good album. Side two, I really like throwing the LP on. Side two, well, if I threw it on my MP3 player, then it just plays through. And Big Love surprised me. Your mom said you cried in your sleep last night. It's a fun song. He's really rocking that out. As I guess is Big Love. Tie Dye on the Highway is a good old song. Liar's Dance is a gorgeous acoustic song. Hurting Kind, Got My Eyes on You. It's a pop song, right? It's the hit. It's a rock pop song. Somewhat of the era. I don't think it stands up as well as something like Tie Dye on the Highway. I've just said that. And Liar's Dance even. But it's not a bad... Oh, that's awful now. And I get why that was the big hit. It had all the marks of a good solid hit. Excuse me, I'm out of coffee and drawing up. Which means I guess it's probably past time for me to pack this one in. I recommend Homework for this week. Homework! Listen to Manic Nirvana. It's worth revisiting. It is Robert Plant doing what he does well and seemed to be enjoying it at the time. And I guess the tour that followed pretty much burned him out a bit. And thus he went and did Fate of Nations a couple of years later. And it was much more... And he talks about wanting to pare back, wanting to get to a more simple... kind of life on Fate of Nations. And I get that. I mean, that's you know, change it up. That's what he does, right? But this is good. This is some good Plant. And but just by the number of songs that you kind of off the top of your head know and like, I think it marks it as a good one. Anyway, I'm gonna cash it in there. The outro will be the little, it's about a 2-minute hit on the contest, just for fun, just from 1990. And don't try to enter. The tour is over. The tour is over some 20 years ago. Plant was, by the way, touring. The dates, the Canadian dates he's talking about, by the way, September 21st, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 27th, October 3rd, 4th, 6th, 1990. That's Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, that's the September dates, and then Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa in October from the 3rd to 6th. Those are the, and there's, you can also, there's an offer to get the official tie, so I didn't have to go to the show, I could have got the official tie-dye t-shirt by sending in, this is, welcome to 1990, right, pre-internet, you didn't go to the webpage and order the friggin' tie-dye shirt, but you could, there's a little clip out here, and you could send it in. Save $2 on the compact disc, save $1 on a cassette purchase, store coupon, and then it told you where to send away to receive your official tour tie-dye t-shirt. Please print your name, address, postal code, and size preference, large or extra large, on a plain piece of paper and mail it with $20 cash, certified check, or money order to Canadian Tour, offer P.O. Box in Gormley, Ontario. Please include all postage, handling, and PST charges where applicable. Offer open to residents of Canada only. Offer expires November 30, 1990. Please allow 4 weeks for delivery, etc. Hey, honey, it would have been a nice Christmas present. Just saying. Actually, 1990, the kid wasn't born yet. I could have just ordered it. I wonder what's that P.O. Box 220 in Gormley, Ontario now. Maybe I should send it in. Let's see. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 92. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. It helps with the placement. Listen on Spreaker. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 92. Keep it coolin', babies.
Telling me what I'm doing.
Hi, this is Robin Hahn, and we're going to be rolling through your town very soon with the Wild, Wild Manic Monitor. So keep listening and keep smiling.
Molson Canadian Rocks is pleased to sponsor one of the biggest concert happenings of this year. The 1990 Robert Plant Manic Nirvana Canadian Tour kicks off in Vancouver on September 21st and includes dates in Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal, and Ottawa. Here's your chance to be part of this exciting tour event when you play the Molson Canadian Rocks Robert Plant Playlist Payoff Contest. And best of all, this will be one of the easiest contests you've ever participated in. No ultimate trivia question like, how many steps to the Stairway to Heaven? Or skill testing questions like, how long will it take to play Robert Plant's album, Now and Zen, at 33 and a third RPMs in a plane at 3,000 feet over the Atlantic Ocean, standing up? No. This contest simply involves keeping your ears tuned to some of the best rock and roll over the last two decades. Here's how it works. Look inside the cassette sleeve for the Robert Plant playlist. The playlist contains a list of Robert Plant and Led Zeppelin songs that the sponsoring station in your town will be playing over the next 2 weeks. Keep your list close at hand and keep your dial tuned to the sponsoring station. Five times a day, Monday to Friday, one of the featured playlist songs will be played. When you hear the featured song and you're the first caller through, you get paid off to see Robert Plant, courtesy of Molson Canadian Rocks. Each prize payoff includes concert tickets for you and a friend in the special Molson Canadian Rocks floor section, the chance to meet Robert Plant, as well as the complete Robert Plant cassette library, courtesy of WEA Records, and official Robert Plant Manic Nirvana Tour apparel. So keep your playlist handy and keep your dial tuned to the sponsoring station in your town wherever you go, and you could get paid off to see Robert Plant in the Molson Canadian Rocks Robert Plant Playlist Payoff. Brought to you by Molson Canadian Rocks. It's coming for you. Contest entrants must be 19 years of age to enter, and there's no purchase necessary to enter the contest.
Switch off the internet.